That's what yesterday, I'm trying to analyze for Shabbat, the Pesach quotes. The idea that we're learning now is now speaking about Matzah, about Pesach. We got into this because of Sukkah, because when it came to a Sukkah, whether a Sukkah has to be built to Shema or not, with the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we of course follow Beis Hillel, that it doesn't really have to be built to Shema, maybe in Yechidish Dava, but it doesn't have to be built to Shema. What about Matzah? Does Matzah have to be baked to Shema? So the Rishami first thought that it was the same question, and then the Rishami backed out and said, no, that matzah is different matzah for sure, the matzah Yishana is no good, because of the following reason. What was that following reason? So the pashas of the Rishami was because of the concern of chametz, that if it's not going to be made for the purpose of Pesach, then no one's really going to be careful about it, and there's going to be some concern of chametz. So we immediately jumped on that Rishami, said the mashmos of the Rishami is that the only reason why you can't use old matzah for Pesach is because of the chametz concern. But if not for the chametz concern, there's no din of chametz matzah per se. There doesn't seem to be a din of the shmon matzah. Unlike tzitzis and unlike tefillin, sefer Torah, etc., unlike a get, things that require the shma, the simple reading of the Rishami is that there is no din of the shma when you bake matzahs. And we highlighted the fact that that is in fact the machlokes of Rishami. Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi is very clear in Maseches Gittin, the view that you do require matzahs to bake the shma. That's a din of shmatzahs and matzahs. And the Rambam seems to be more in sync with the Rishami. So we ended up the Shay yesterday trying to show you why there are some Gemaras in Sachan that seem to point in Rashi's direction, maybe Machlokes Bab and Rishami, etc. When all the dust settled, we did have two different opinions in the Rishon. What is the nature of the din of Shmura by Matzah? That Rashi linked it to the parasha of Lashma, of Tzitzis, and Tefillin, etc. And the Rambam held it was just a din of Shmira Mechimot, just to make sure it's not Chometz. The Chetz of the Matzah, the Mitzvah's Matzah, doesn't require an Asiyas Matzah Lashma. So the very, very end of the Shia, we quoted a Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah makes an observation within Shittas of Rambam. Now, once you tell me that the din of Shmura is not a din in the mitzvah's matzah, then the chayre, there's absolutely no difference between the first kazayis they eat at the Seder and the kazayis they eat in, what was that trip again that we don't like to go to? Six Flags? Or the seventh day lunch. It doesn't matter what day Pesach you're eating, it has to be Shmura. It has to be matzah. The ish of chometz is no different between the Leila Seder and the rest of the week. So why should the din of Shmura be different? According to Rashi, who holds that Shmura is not a din of chametz. Chametz, I know it's called not chametz. I looked at it, I see, obviously it's not chametz. According to Rashi, it's a din of lishma in the chefts of the mitzvah of matzah. So Rashi says correctly, in Gittin Daf Yud, the mitzvah of matzah is only be after the matzah, it's only the first night. So according to Rashi, there's no inyan whatsoever to have Shmura matzah the rest of the week. There's no mitzvah matzah, there's no Shmura matzah. But according to the Rambam, that it's a din of Shmura mechimot, then it makes a lot of sense that it should apply the rest of the week. And quite frankly, it shouldn't be any different between the rest of the week or the first kazayis. So that set the stage for the very, very difficult Rambam that we just quoted very, very quickly yesterday. Now, Pat, let's take a look at the Rambam. So the Rambam, many different Rambams in the Sugya. The Rambam, in the ninth of the Rambam Kaimis, the Rambam Luchas Chometz and Matzah, Bechetz Loch Yegimel, Mi She'ein Loi Matzah Mishomeres Ele Kazayis. The guy sits down to the Seder, and he only has a kazayis of shmur matzah. That's all he has. Now, we can't even fathom this bezman hazeh. So we live in a world, you know, we live in a world that we have a choice of 400 asuragim. We live in a world, you go to the store a week before Pesach, you have 50 different brands, not only 50 different brands of shmur matzah, but you got the whole wheat matzahs, you got your oat matzahs, you got your spelt matzahs, you got you want this chumra, you want that chumra, everywhere, chassidish matzahs, lipish matzahs, every strodik matzahs, Ukrainian matzahs, you name it, your good kosher supermarket. Come on, give me a good kosher supermarket. Give me a good one. Come on. Evergreen. Everyone knows the nigga. Nine. Okay, you go into Evergreen. There's an array of 16 different choices of matzahs, easily. Whether you're in the parking lot store, whether you're in the regular store, you're in the, you know, in the Pesach store, mega store, and then in case you don't have enough, then you go down around the corner to Rockland Kosher. It's pushed. I always said that a good way to map the difference between the world that I grew up in, I consider me and Dr. Berman, even though he's a few years older than me, I consider still my generation. You know, we're closer in generation to you guys. So a good way to about the difference in terms of Achilles Matzah, I'll tell you two real, real, just quick ha'aris. All right? It came to me on the Achron Shel Pesach, the night of Achron Shel Pesach. This goes back almost 7 years ago when my father was, Dr. Berman was very helpful in those years also. When my father was very sick, we had to take him to the emergency room one of the many times, was Achron Shel Pesach. So I didn't have a chance to eat the suda. I had a mamash run before I had a chance to eat the suda at night. So I was in the emergency room in a holy name hospital. Holy name hospital, Kishmoy Kenu. It's a Catholic hospital, all right? It's a Catholic hospital. This was Acharon Shel Pesach. And I was sitting and waiting in the emergency room, and it was 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, hadn't made kiddush, hadn't eaten anything. So I ran upstairs to the Bikachol to find, what am I going to find? An Achrich or Pesach in a Catholic hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey. Not Bar Park, not even Muncie. What am I going to find? I found, you name it, my choice of hand shmur matzahs. I could have gotten, there were Satman matzahs, there were Vigilant matzahs, there were Yenim, Badal Belta, everything, you name it. I had a choice on the last night of Pesach. I had a choice of about 6 different brands of hand shmur matzah in a Catholic hospital. When I was a little boy growing up in Riverdale, you could not find the kezayis of shmur matzah in all of Riverdale. It didn't exist, they didn't sell it. You had to go to Washington Heights, the Koshi, to get one box. We had one, my grandmother Lashem used to go on the bus to wash the ice to bring home one box of shmur matzah. That last somehow the kezayis, it must have been smaller when I was a kid. That lasted for everybody, for the whole two sedarim, and there was more than there was left off for cholamot. That was it. So life was changed. At the moment, I imagine wasn't all that different.
Yeah, Rebbe was ahead of me.
You didn't have any shmur matzah. Okay, you relied on the shmur shas lishik. I was ready. The more modern, I was ready. More advanced. Okay, one. I remember the box. I remember what it looked like. About this big, one little box of shmur matzah, and it would sit in the closet, and then I would use it for the star. And that was it. Never heard of such a thing as shmur matzah afterwards. We have like Rashi in the old days. Good. So basically, so comes around him and depicts the following case. The guy's got one kezayis. He's sitting on a desert island, one kezayis. He's got a lot of other matzahs. He's got boxed matzahs of non shmur. So what does he do? Mishael matzah b'shmeras al kezayis. Kishagoyim esudasa mimatzah she'enim mishmeras. So Zok the Rambam, by the Leil HaSeder, he should make Maitzi Matzah and eat the regular matzah. Eat the regular matzah, enjoy the regular matzah. And then, Mevarech al Achilas Matzah, Ve'eich Leisei Kezayis, Ve'en HaTamach Rav Klum. Zok the Rambam, at the very, very end of the meal, you should take a piece of matzah, and that'll be the grand finale, that'll be the Afikoyim, and that'll be the Mitzvah Deraisa B'Chetach Matzahs, and that'll be it. So the Rambam says when you have a choice between, if only one kezayis, if you want to know where to place it, where to time it, should I do it at the beginning or should I do it at the end? So we want you to get the optimal mitzvah chilas matzah out of that kezayis. So eat that kezayis for the mitzvah chilas matzah, and the best shot of chilas matzah is at the very end of the meal. That's the shita sir Rambam. I don't understand this Rambam. Mitchila v'yat soif, I don't understand this Rambam. What do I not understand about this Rambam? The Rambam says, no, I'd eat it. Like, what are you eating the enemy Shemeris for? The Rambam says, because you're going to Sudas and Sudas and Shemeris? Didn't the Rambam just tell you not allowed to eat it? What's the answer? Did the Rambam say not allowed to eat it? Right. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam learns that Shemartim is Hamatzis means that you have to really, really try as best as you can to eat Shemura the entire week. You have to be super duper extra careful that it's not chametz, but you're not mechuyav to start on Pesach. And if you're stuck in some, forlorn place like Brooklyn back in the 1960s, and there's no shmur matz around, the Rambam says you're not mechuyav to starve. That's okay, says the Rambam. You're allowed to eat matzah shmurah. The din of eating the shmurah is not likuva, says the Rambam. It's not an isser. You're supposed to try as best as you can, but if you don't have anything else, that's okay. So we can read the sigh of relief. So the Rambam just permitted you to eat the matzah shenem mishmeres for the rest of the meal. What's my next kasha in the Rambam? What? So what are you saving for Avi Kovim? What are you gaining by saving for Avi Kovim? You have one kezayis. If I was the Rambam, I would save it for my trip to Six Flags on the third day of Cholamot. According to the Rambam, what a difference if the whole din of shmur matzah is not a din of achilas matzah. I have one kezayis of shmur matzah and 100 kezayis of regular. Divide whoever you want to. Eat it for Shvish or Pesach. Eat it by the Baal Shem Tov's Tish. I don't know when you want to eat it. Eat whenever you want. What? Because I don't talk about. What does it make a difference when you eat that kezayis? It has nothing to do with the Chilas Matzah anyway. It's a kiyum in. It's an extra added precaution. That's not ma'akab b'diav. It's not. That's great. It's a chibah state in Rambam. Because gema sudas v'matzah yishim shumer. State for Rambam Feirish. You're allowed to eat. It's mutter to eat the non-shmura. It's just a lechatchila. The rice at Rambam. Whatever the lechatchila is. But what do you gain by saving it for the kezayis amount? That's the bomb cash. If Rashi would have written this, it would have made a lot of sense. But for the Rambam to author this halacha, it doesn't make any sense. What's Pshat Shi'is Rambam? How can it be a Bidin Shir Mechimotz, and yet somehow it's better to eat that for the Achilas Matzah? What's Pshat Shi'is Rambam? So there's a Meshe Chochma in Chumash, in Pashas Bo. you would think that the Beis HaChochem I'm going to quote you has something to do with matzah. Parshas Bo, it's not a bitch. That's where the Pasuk Shmatas and Matzah is. That's where the Yisrael Chometz is. That's where Rav Tachai. You would think that's where the Beis HaChochem would appear that I'm about to quote you. But it doesn't. The Beis HaChochem appears at the end of Parshas Bo in the context of the mitzvah of Tefillah. And this Beis HaChochem, this Or Sameach, gives you an attempted biur B'das HaRambam. Torah says, at the end of Parshas Bo, V'shamartes achuka hazois l'moado miyamim yamima. Anyone want to translate the pasuk for me? V'shamartes achuka hazois l'moado miyamim yamima. Any attempts? There's a problem with the pasuk. What's the problem with the pasuk? Guys, I still asleep from yesterday. Shh. Everyone had a good night's sleep? No one had a good night's sleep. Too close to finals. V'shamarta es achuka hazois. What's the problem, by saying? There's something ambiguous about this pasuk. What is it? We have no idea what. We have no idea what. Where the chuka is? The Rebbe Sham comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells Klai Yisrael, tell them the following: V'shamarta es achuka hazois. And Klai Yisrael is sitting there and asking themselves, scratching their heads, what chuka? Paraduma? What plural chuka? Shatnez? What chuka are we talking about? So what's the answer? If I write a sentence to you, I write you a paragraph, and I write, Reuven went to the store. Reuven went to Shia. Reuven took a nap in the middle of Shia. Reuven woke up. He did excellent on the Bechina. Who is the he? Reuven, okay? So Mishamayat is Chukah Hazois. It's obviously referring to the previous Pesukim. Whatever the last context of Kimor, that's the Chukah Hazois. The problem is, who here knows Chumash? Who here says this Pasha? And they put on film every day. V'shamarit, I'm not even going to ask that question. V'shamarit es achuka hazois. What is the previous pasuk I'm talking about? Maybe we should stop learning sukkah and start learning chumash. What is the pasuk right before that talking about? It's in Parshas Kadesh. What is the theme of Parshas Kadesh? Kadesh it's talking about Korban Pesach, talking about celebrating Pesach. So Mistama, that's what the pasuk means. Observe the Yom Tov of Pesach, keep the Korban Pesach. What was Miyam Yamima mean? What does the translation of the word? If Chukah means, if Chukah refers to Korban Pesach, what does Yom Yamima mean? Translate, what does Yom Yamima mean? How often do you keep Pesach? Every day? Year to year, annually, right? Shenati, that's the right word? Okay, is that right? Dang, there we go, okay, got it. The man from Israel proved the usage. Shenati, once a year, that's what the pasuk means. If you translate the pasuk to mean chukah to mean Pesach, Yamimah means shenati, means once a year. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says that is the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk is referring to coming Pesach, nothing more, nothing less. Observe Pesach once a year. Comes Rabbi Yosi HaGalili and disagrees. Rabbi Yosi HaGalili Masechus Menachos says no. True, the bulk of that pasuk is talking about Korban Pesach, but there's another mitzvah that's stuck in there at the very end of that parsha. What is it? It's Parshas Kaddish. I'll give you a hint. Where's Parshas Kaddish found in what mitzvah? In that tefillin. So in the parsha of Kaddish it says, V'hoya l'chol yosol yalcho zikor ben inecha l'man tiyat ha'ashem v'yir v'shamah et esachuk azayis l'modam yomim. So Yosef Lili in Maseches Menachos had gesagt that the Chukah Hazois is not referring to what the main parasha is talking about coming Pesach, but rather the Chukah Hazois is referring specifically to that very last, almost like the addendum, like the very last pasuk in the parasha, not the main theme, but the immediate previous pasuk is talking about tefillin. Therefore, Yosef Lili translates Chukah not to mean Pesach, but rather Yosef Lili's version of Chukah is tefillin. And what in the world does Yamim Yamima mean, according to Rabbi Yosef Lili? It can't mean once a year. You don't put on tefillin once a year. So what could Yom Yamima mean, according to Rabbi Yosef Lili? A different daily. Yom Yamima doesn't mean annual. It doesn't mean shnati. What does it mean? Yomi. Like as in daf yomi. So tefillin yomi. Mitzvah yomi. You do the mitzvah tefillin every single day. So anyone know what ramifications emanate from the statement of Rabbi Yosef Lili? This chiddush of Rabbi Yosef Lili that he interpreted the pasuk not to be referring to Pesach like the bulk of the parasha, but to the pasuk immediately before the tefillin. My nafkamin ladin that Yom Yomima refers to Yomi. Anyone know? What do halachas that Rabbi Yosef Lili derive from that? That you don't put on tefillin at night. Rabbi Yosef Lili Maseches Menachos says it's also been a tur to put on tefillin at night. V'shamayta miyamin v'loy leilais. And what else did Rabbi Yossi Gluda derive from this? Miyamim. What does miyamim mean? Miktsas yamim. Some days you do, implying that other days you don't. Which days don't you put on tefillin? So it doesn't say mechumash. Rabbi Yossi Gluda has to think about it and say, well, which days are different and distinct from other days? So Tuesdays are not that different from Thursdays. Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays are all the same. Friday is pretty much the same. Shabbos, Yom Tov, those are days that are distinct. Those are days that are different. Those are miyam v'lochoyamim. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi Gluda derives from this pasuk two dinim deraisa, that you don't wear tefillin at night and you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because Rabbi Yossi Gluda said that yomim refers to tefillin, yomi means tefillin, v'lo Shabbos v'lo Yom Tov. What is the Gemara in Demas Sefes Menachos push back to Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbi Akiva, who says b'chukas ha-pesach ha-chasav medaber. So how do you know that you don't wear tefillin at night? How do you know you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Do you know what the Gemara answers? The Gemara says that how do you know you don't wear tefillin at night? You don't know it according to Rabbi Akiva. What's the answer? You do wear tefillin at night. Minatar, you do wear tefillin at night. But everybody knows you don't wear tefillin at night. That's on the midrabbanan. As a gezer, you may come to sleep in the tefillin. It'll be disrespectful to the tefillin. But midraisa, according to Rabbi Akiva, you wear tefillin at night. And how do you know you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says machlek is not tanoim. Some tanoim say if you follow Rabbi Akiva's line of reasoning, that chukah is not even referring to tefillin, it's referring to Pesach. Just as there's no source to exclude night from tefillin, there's no source to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov from tefillin, and therefore you do wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to one Tana. And the Gemara then quotes Rabbi Akiva himself didn't hold that way. Rabbi Akiva personally was of the opinion that even though there's no pasuk here to exclude Shabbos and Yom from tefillin, there's a different pasuk that excludes Shabbos and Yom. What's the other pasuk? Os, because it says Kshatim la'os yatsu Shabbos as Yom Tov Shem Atzman Os. So when all the dust settles, Rabbi Akiva personally subscribes to Rabbi Yosef Gluda's view that there's no tefillin on Shabbos. That's true, but Laila, according to Rabbi Yosef Gluda, Yitacha, there's no tefillin. According to Rabbi Akiva, Minatara, there really would be tefillin. So these are the two different opinions. This is a Shoy state in the seventh, the Menachos and the third parak. These are the two traditional ways of understanding this parsha. Fundamental question, is it tefillin or is it Pesach? And again, the pros and cons for each Tana. One Tana is highlighting the main theme of the parsha is Korban Pesach. The other Tana is highlighting the fact that the immediate previous pasuk is tefillin. Depending on what you think the chuk is going to impact on what you think the word Yom Yom means. Comes the Mechilta, by the Tanoim also, comes the Mechilta, and offers a third way of reading these psukim, and this is going to set the stage for our discussion. This is all the background to the background of the background of our discussion. Comes the Mechilta and says, the parasha is talking about tefillin. It really is talking about tefillin. But unlike Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says it's talking about tefillin, and therefore Yom Yomima refers to Yomi, to putting on tefillin every single day, the Mechilta walks a tightrope between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili and says, the chukah is tefillin, but Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of Yom Yomima is the more correct one. Yom Yomima means shnati. So there's a whole other opinion here. There's a third view. There's the Mechilta's understanding that the chukah is tefillin, but Yomim Yomima is Shnati. Now that's quite a statement. Does that mean to say the absurd argument that you only wear tefillin once a year? Anuchid. Those guys who don't put on tefillin that much, they don't like the Mechilta. That's what the Mechilta means. Chalila v'chalila. Comes the Mechilta and says, of course you put on tefillin every day. So what does v'shamarta mean, Yom Yomima? Anyone have any idea? What could v'shamarta as a chukah zois mean if it's referring to tefillin once a year? You have to check your tefillin once a year. Another pasuk reads like the charm. V'shamarta, make sure, guard those tefillin, make sure your tefillin are sure, haven't checked every year. The sofer like this, Mechilta, good for business. V'shamarta sachukah zos miyam. Wow. Now, I'm going to preface my comments by saying we don't follow this Mechilta. The Gemara says, b'feirush, you don't have to check your tefillin every year. The Gemara says, you don't have to check your tefillin at all, technically speaking. If the tefillin are good, you can rely on the chazakah. Unless something went out of the ordinary, some person will discuss with Manazah, maybe things that were. Those are detailed questions, how often you should or shouldn't check your tefillin. But this Mechilta is not accepted by Allah. But we still have to discuss the Mechilta as an independent Shita and Tanoim, what this means. What do you have to check your tefillin for? What are you looking for? What are you checking for? The Bakasha last year, what are you checking for? No ideas. what may have happened in the last year. Well, somebody got rubbed out. Somebody must have gotten rooms in the last year. So one of the Yosefs must have rubbed out over the course of time. And that's what you're looking for. Now, between you and me, before you read this Mechilta, would you have ever thought you have to check your tefillin? Why would you have thought you don't have to check your tefillin? You have a chazaka. Not only a chazaka, you have a robe. The odds that something went wrong, between you and me, statistically, the odds that a letter just all of a sudden faded away, the parshas are inside, they're not exposed to any of the elements, they're not exposed to water, there's nothing in there that's going to ruin the parshas. Between you and me, the odds that a letter got rubbed out, I'd say one in 10,000. I don't know how, very, very unlikely. And yet the Mechilta says you have to look for it. So what's the Mechilta saying? What is the Mechilta really telling us, the way it understood this pasuk? Notwithstanding the fact that it's most probably not a concern, it's probably not a concern, so the tefillin are probably kosher. Let's say you're on a desert island, you don't know how to open up tefillin. So would you say you don't wear your tefillin now because a year passed? What would you think the Mechilta would say about that? Kosher should wear your tefillin because the odds are the kosher. So what is the Mechilta saying? Notwithstanding the fact that you have a gewaltig chazach, and notwithstanding the fact that you have a gewaltig rug, notwithstanding the fact that all of Shef Shmaitz is pointing in the direction that you're okay, it's what's the magic words? Efshelavar. You could investigate. You could look into it. You could be mevados. So what the Mechilta is really saying, based on this pasuk of Shemarta, is why rely on all these funny robes and chazakas, all these klalim. Those klalim are great for the guy on the desert island. But if you're living in the middle of a bar park and there's a cipher across the street, take out a few dollars, take out a few hours, and bring them to the cipher. Let them check it every Rosh Hashanah once a year. Why not? Efshel levar bekal. So when it's efshel levar, you shouldn't rely on all these kuntsim and all these raves, etc. That's Pasha's what the Mechilta said. Comes the Shaul's the truth is Mishkinus Yaakov, who we just quoted his brother yesterday. That's interesting. Right? Who's his brother? Kerenayra. Kerenayra was a Ritza Kalina, Mishkinus Yaakov was a Yaakov Kalina. So the Mishkinus Yaakov, he was a Talmud of who? Well, it's a Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. So the Mishkinus Yaakov has the famous Psak based on this Mechilta. Says the Mishkinus Yaakov, there's a sugya that appears at the beginning of Maseches Chulin, Maseches Beitza. When you shecht an animal, in theory, you should open the animal up and go a head-to-toe check and see, does it have a treif or not? There are 70 different treifas that could have holes in the head, holes in the hearts, holes in the stomachs, holes in the kishkas. So many different things could go wrong with the animal. You should really be required not to violate the issue of treifa, to open up the entire animal and give it a rundown check. Do we do this? No. Why don't we do this? Because the odds that an animal's walking around, it looks pretty healthy, and the odds that it's got a hole, a gaping hole in its heart that's going to make it a treifa, very, very unlikely. Very, very rare. And therefore, we rely on the rope. It's an unbelievable rope. Nevertheless, the Rishonim at the Yom HaSechus Chulin, it would appear that Bamed Devam Amurim, that we don't have to open up animals, you have to shech them, check from head to toe. That's for the heart and the brain and the kishkes and the livers, all those kinds of ivarim. Because the odds of having a problem are very, very unlikely. There's one part of an animal's body, or animal physiology over here, in veterinarian school, that tends to have more trachis than others. And what is that? The lungs. And therefore, the halacha requires that you have to open up the lungs and take a look and see, yeah, bam, what's going on? Is there a problem? Is there not a problem? Is there a hole? Is there something that indicates a hole? You have to look around and investigate and examine to make sure there's no treifa here. So the Rishonim explained, beginning of Maseches Chulin, my haimanishtana the lungs from the rest of the body. No great difference, up here, aloha. It's pure statistics that a hole in the heart is so unlikely, you don't have to waste your time looking for it. A hole in the lung is a little bit more likely, and therefore it falls into the category, I don't know what the term is called, to describe called the mir hamotsui. It's a meal. It's a little bit of 59% of animals are not walking around with holes in hearts. And that's not happening. But there's more than holes in hearts. And therefore, it's a meal also, and therefore you're required to check for it. That's the way all the Rishon, Rashi beginning with Chulin, Ban, all the Rishon beginning with Chulin explain this discrepancy, why we don't check for other treifas, we do check for lung problems, because it's a meal also. How serious is this requirement to check for meal also? Where did this come from? What's this one? The Gemara seems to speak about it, the Rishonim for sure speak about it. So, based on what? Why do I have to look? Why do I have to investigate? Why do I have to examine? Why can't I just close my eyes and say I'm relying on Rove, even by the lungs? It is a Rove. So it's Evshel Levar,
yeah? You can see that for the entire body.
What?
You can see that for the entire body.
You could. So comes Mishios Yaakov and suggests the Chiddush Gadol. He says, it's Evshel Levar, and it's not so crazy. It happens sometimes. It's a Miyun HaMotz, whatever those numbers mean, 10%, whatever you think Miyun HaMotz is. Says Mishkenes Yaakov, you can't close your eyes to a Mira Motzai. That's a din. And what's the makor for this din? You can't close your eyes to a Mira Motzai? Listen to this. What does Mishkenes Yaakov say? What's the makor? Tefillin. That's the Parshas HaTorah V'Shamayit HaZechuk HaZois. You can't close your eyes to a Mira Motzai. So Mishkenes Yaakov, Chachmasai, made an unbelievable conversation. He made an equation. He said, B'dikas Tefillin? Listen to this. Is the halach equivalent of bedikas ha? How do you say lungs? Bedikas areya, right? Bedikas areya. Bedikas tefillin is bedikas areya. They're both examples of possibilities that are within the realm of concern. Holes in hearts, holding kishkes, holding liver. Those are not even on the radar. Forget about those. But anything that's in the realm of realistic possibility, we call halach amir hamot, the statistic numbers match up to. Minatayri, you have to check. You're not allowed to take a chance, just as you have to check tefillin, so you have to check for the reyes. Now again, we're a little bit weary about this tshuva of the Mishkenes Yaakov. Why? Even though we made it as godless and unbelievable yadiya kol tarkula, we're a little bit weary about the application of the slamaisa. Why? Because we're quite frankly not too convinced that what? That because tefillin is deraisa, right? Because after all, we paskin in the halacha like who? We paskin Rabbi Akiva, according to Moshe Shon, and paskin Rabbi Kefir Rambam, Moshe Shon and paskin that minatari a lot of tefillin at night. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Tefillin Paskins with the Raisi, you're allowed to wear Tefillin at night, just in the Rabban, you can't. I'm going to tell you you are, because we Paskin Rabbi Akiva. So we Paskin Rabbi Akiva hold the Chukah is not even talking about Tefillin. The Chukah is talking about Karban Pesach. So we don't even go down the route of the Mechilta entirely. We don't buy into the whole Mechilta. But if you're in the world of those 10 of the Mechilta, so the Mishkenes Yaakov had a model, he had a source, a precedent for the idea that just as you have to check your tefillin with the Raisa once a year because you're concerned of a possibility, a remote possibility of the Isis fading, so too you have to check the Reyes because that remote possibility that maybe there's a hole, maybe there's a sirch, maybe there's a problem in the lungs. That's the presentation of Mishkenes. That was the background of Isis. Comes the Meshech Chochma, the Hilgor Samech, and on this statement of Shemarta, and disagrees with the Mishkenes Yaakov. He doesn't disagree with the Mishkenes Yaakov like we just did, that we don't buy into this whole B'dikas Tefillin. He says no. Even if he's right by B'dikas Tefillin, he's not correct in the application of B'dikas Areya. It's this equation Mishkenes Yaakov doesn't like. I'm not so happy with the whole B'dikas Tefillin, so I don't believe the whole B'dikas Tefillin. I mean, me. Rabbi Kiva doesn't buy into the whole B'dikas Tefillin. But even within the worldview of those Tanur and the Mechilta, that there is a din of B'dikas Tefillin with Deraisa, and you can't rely on Reyes with Deraisa, to extrapolate from there to B'dikas Areya is a big, big stretch. Why? Why is it a stretch? If I were to ask you, what area of halacha is mochum? Putting on tefillin or eating treif? I mean, I'm a big tefillin guy also. I think it's also an important mitzvah. But, you know, between you and me, eating treif is much more important. So instead of maybe walking around and asking everybody, did you put on tefillin today? We should walk around and ask everybody, did you eat treifus today? So that would, dag about, if you can't eat treifus, that's much more serious. That's a lav, it's malchus. Yes, it's true that in terms of the hierarchy of halacha, tefillin is not on the top. It's a very important mitzvah. Very, very important mitzvah. Not minimizing it at all. But in terms of I had a choice between not putting on tefillin and eating treifus, I would opt for not putting on tefillin. Nevertheless, says the Meshech Chochma, notwithstanding the chumras ha'isser of treifus, vis-a-vis this halach of bedika, I'm more concerned to be bedik my tefillin than I am to be bedik for treifus. Why should that be? Conceptually, this is pure lumdus. This is not hierarchy of mitzvah. It's pure lumdus. Why does it bother me more? I'll give me more nervous and more concerned to go be ready to fill in rather than be ready for choices. One time shot. But I eat the same animals. I shechted a cow. It's keep me for a year. Every day I eat the same hamburger, a different hamburger. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I find that it turns out that the animal had a hole in the lung, it's in the day tray for the rest for the last year. Right.
Maybe a rubatel be'isser versus rubatel.
I mean, you're going back to the base. Right. The only problem is this is not bitl b'roi b'chlal. This is a following Rav. Bittelbarov, you're right. And Yontif Shuvas from way back in the base. This is not Bittelbarov. This is following the principles. So everybody said, let's play out the following. Okay. Let's imagine for a minute that I shecht an animal. I do exactly what the halacha tells me. And I don't bother checking the stomachs and the kishkas and the hearts and the brain. I don't do any of that. I eat the animal. It's kafaldik, the steak and the ribs, everything's good. I can't get a nusha, get rid of my squash. The rest of it, I'm eating away, everyone's eating away. And all of a sudden, nobody told the person, but someone in the back of the kitchen says, you know what, I'm learning parakeet l'trefus now. Let's take a look, see what's really going on inside this animal. Nobody told him to do that. And he opens up the animal and says, oh my goodness gracious, gavald! There's a hole in the kishkes of the animal. Nikva me'ayim, gavald! Trefus deraisi chai malkas. And he comes screaming to everybody and says, guys, stop eating! So what do you have to do at that point? You better stop eating. What else you have to do? You have to kash your whole kitchen, right? Everything was mamash treif deraisa. Basa basada treif l'sucheda, mamash treif deraisa. I'm going to ask you a funny question. Did I do anything wrong retroactively? Well, it depends on what you mean by did I do anything wrong. Did my body and my cells digest something that's physically treif? The answer is yes. Did I do anything against the Ribbono Shel Olam? Not really. What? It's Mamash Einus. It's Einus. The Torah says, "Lanaru l'sasa dover Einus chonam patre." If a person is forced, quote unquote, into doing something, whether the source of the force of being compelled is somebody who's attacking this young girl, or whether I'm being forced, so to speak, to do something, total accident, total mistake, wasn't even on the halakhic radar screen, I didn't have to check the stomach. If I would have asked the gun lador, I would have called Ramesha, should I check the stomach? Ramesha, don't check the stomach. The din is you don't have to. Ramesha ate food all the time without checking the stomachs of the animals. Nobody does. Nobody today checks the stomachs of the animals. So I did, Mamash, Asisika, Shetzivisan, did exactly what I was supposed to do. And then a crazy, I get hit by lightning, one in a billion chance, it turns out that animal that I ate had a hole in the stomach. So Anis Rechman Apatria and finished. So when a person comes, maybe has a chance to the Beis Shemala, they ask him, did you eat? Gavalt, you ate treifas. What does he say? No, Onus Rechman Apatria, Shteitin the Chumash, that's not my Maisa. That's not Misyachis to me. I didn't eat treifas. I mean, I physically, biologically ate it, but I didn't, halachically, I didn't eat treifas. Onus Rechman Apatria, it's not my Maisa. It's not my problem. A person gets a beautiful bar mitzvah for his bar mitzvah. And he doesn't bother checking them. And he's wearing them for 20 years. And they're beautiful. At the time they were checked by the sofer before the bar mitzvah, beautiful. All of a sudden the sofer opens them up 20 years later and he finds that one of the ACS has faded over time. I mean, we don't know exactly when the Ruach HaKadosh and when, but sometime between his bar mitzvah now, the os has faded. The Mishnah says, Maseches Menachos, that if even a part of the yos is missing, the tefillin apostle in the Torah. Has this fellow fulfilled tefillin in the last 16 and a half years? When he comes to the Kisei HaKavod and they ask him, what happened to tefillin? So what he could say to the Ribbono Shel Olam is as follows. I tried my best. I really did. But at the end of the day, did he wear tefillin for the last 16 years? No. So what's the difference? When it comes to the eating of the treifas, he can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't eat treifas. When it comes to tefillin, he can't say that. Why? There's a cloud goblin halacha. What is it? Ones is what? Ones is command lo avidomi. But ones is lav command avidomi. What does that mean? When you do something derech ones, it's as if you didn't do it. So the treifas that I ate under duress of halacha, because I followed the Shulchan Aruch, what I did justifiably, legitimately, and it turns out, Igloy Milson Shemayim, that it was in Aveira, it's not my problem. It's as if I didn't do it. Einus can cancel what I did and say it's not my Maisa, but Einus from today till tomorrow cannot take something that I didn't do and say that I did it. At the end of the day, I didn't wear the tefillin. At the end of the day, I didn't wear the tefillin. That's the bottom line, I didn't wear the tefillin. So, Zogdim HaShech Chochma, just because the Mechilta requires Min HaTorah to check your tefillin, that's in the realm of Mitzvah's essay you have to check. You have to make more of an effort in the realm of mitzvah's essay to make sure that you're not relying on robes and chazakas and all that stuff. because the ramification, the risks otherwise, are disaster. Because if Igvoy Mils says tefillin apostle, then Oini says lav command avidami, and it turns out you lost the bits of tefillin. Just because you have to make the extra mamats, the extra struggle, the extra effort in the realm of tefillin, which is the mitzvah essay, you need not make a similar mamats in the realm of losa say a treifus. Not because losa say is more kal than tefillin. No, the opposite is true. It's more chomer. But tefillin has something that treifus doesn't have. Tefillin is a mitzvah essay, and einus from tefillin tomorrow is lav command avidami. The losa say we can hide behind and say is command below avidami. I didn't eat the treifus. You can't say I put on the tefillin from my seat and. So once a year, you check tefillin every day. So the Torah, the Torah sets up this model that once a year, at least it's like checking for lungs. To check every day, that would be like checking for stomachs. That's like so unlikely. Tefillin of kosher yesterday, they became possible in the last 24 hours. Very, very unlikely. So unlikely, even that's not even included in Shmir. So as I state the Mishnah Chochma, this Yisrael, you say this, that the darga of Shmira, I didn't use that word lightly or coincidentally, the darga of Shmira necessary in the realm of mitzvah essays supersedes the darga of Shmira necessary in the realm of los essays. Not because los essays is a less chamer, but because you can't hide behind figured einus. Who sees the cub? Who says the pshat in the Rambam now? It's 45 minutes in the background to the Rambam. Who comes in Mazza? Who sees what's pshat in the Rambam now? The Rambam holds Ushmarta b'samatzis is a din in what? It's only a din in what? Only a din in chametz. There's nothing to do with mitzvah essays. It's a din in chametz. Why do I have to do shmira samatzis? If I think it's chametz, I can't eat it because it's a chashash of chametz. What's the answer? In my heart of hearts, do I really think it's chametz? No. How do I know it's not chametz? It doesn't look like chametz to me. It doesn't look like chametz. It tastes like chametz. It's a little flat crack. It's not a big fat piece of bread. It doesn't look like it's chametz to me. So min haTorah, if not for the pasuk of shmat v'samatzis, which the Rambam holds is by an asmacht anyway, if not for the din of shmat v'samatzis, the din deraisa would have been, if it doesn't look like chametz, doesn't smell like chametz, doesn't taste like chametz, if it doesn't walk like a duck, doesn't talk like a duck, doesn't act like, so it's not a duck. It's not a piece of chametz. It's not chametz. So min deraisa, lulei the pasuk of shmat v'samatzis, it looks like matzah to me. There's no sign it's matzah. You're probably right. 95% chance probably matzah. So come to halacha, either deraisa, derabban, depending on what you think about the Rambam from yesterday, and superimposes a new din and says, don't rely on your senses. Don't rely on your rave. Don't rely on your chazak. Don't rely on your intuition. There's a din of shmira. The din of shmira samatzis from chametz, not all that different than what? Than what? Than shmira satfilin. Not all that different. There's a din of Shmira. So now comes Mishnah Chochma for the punchline. That din of Shmira has nothing to do with the mitzvah essay of matzah. It has to do with the los essay of eating chametz. Don't rely on your intuition. Go the extra mile. Either deraisa or derabanan. If I say, on third day Chol HaMoed, I went on my trip to the Six Flags, and I ate non-shmur matzah. Technically speaking, were they doing anything wrong before the pasuk of Shemar? Were they doing anything wrong? No. What if before the pasuk of Shmur Matzah, Igloy Milsa turns out, I found out that the matzah tacha early on in the harvesting stage got a little water on it, and lo and behold, it was chametz. There was no way for me to figure that out. Humanly possible. Did I do anything wrong? But a person comes to the Beis Shemal and says, why'd you eat chametz? It had water on it. I say, I ate chametz. I follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I looked at the matzah. It doesn't look like it's chametz. So I did what the din is. I see it's kashet tzvisari. There's no pasuk shmat v'samatzis. It doesn't exist. So there's no din shmat v'samatzis. What? So it was great, but it was a big deal. I you ate chametz. So I point to the other guy who's also being asked questions in Shemayim. You see that guy over there? He ate meat that had a hole in the kishkas. I didn't do that. So you have two guys in Shemayim that are being questioned. One guy's been questioned about eating treifus, one guy's been questioned about eating chametz, and they both have the same defense. The same lawyer in Shemayim says, what's the response? Where's that lawyer? What? Einichman patri. The attorney, the Sanhedrin in Shemayim says, the Katega, the Satana Mashchas is screaming, these guys up here, Ranshom, listen to these guys. These are your big tzaddikim here. This guy eats treifus, and that guy's eating chametz to Pesach. What do we say? Has kategor, kach sanegor mekoymai. When do we say that? It's on Yom Kippur, okay? So we say to the kategor, keep quiet. Right? We should shut up the mouth of the Kategor. The Kach Sadeh, who's the Sadegor? So come to Gavriel Amalach, Michal and all the Malachim will come to be Melamed Chus and Klal Yisrael. And the Gep, the Shemaim, they say, no, it's not true. That guy over there, he goes straight to Gan Eden. Goes straight to Lamaba. What do you mean? He ate Chametz of Pesach. No, he did it. It was Oynes. Okay. Straight to Gan Eden. That other guy over there, he ate Dreyfus. No, he didn't. It was Oynes. So this is Gevaldik, Meiridik. So the Din of Shemura, when it addresses Chametz, it's important. But between you and me, if you wouldn't have done Shemur, it wouldn't have been so terrible anyway. However, what's however? You hit the nail on the head. What's however? If it was the first Kezias by the Seder, imagine without the Din of Shemur. Imagine a guy at first Kezias for the Shem Mitzvah Matzah. He ate it, and it turns out, Klap Ishmaya, that it wasn't quite the Matzah that he thought it really was Chametz. So when they ask him in Shemayim, you ate Chametz on Pesach, what does the Sanhedrin say? What does he say? Rish Keter, Eines is command the law of Avidami. What's the next question they ask him? You didn't eat matzah, but you have to eat matzah. You know why? Because you can't be Yetzi matzah with something that is what? That's Chametz. If it's Chametz, it ain't matzah. It can't be both. So when they ask the next question in Shemayim, where does this guy go? He didn't eat matzah on Pesach night. So he starts to fump and he says, oh, it's an oinus. So what do they say in Beit Shemala? You don't know from Reb Chaim Shtikl Torah, oinus is lav command the Ovid Domi. Oinus from today till tomorrow, you didn't do anything. We're not mad at you for not eating, for eating chametz. You didn't eat chametz up, you didn't, but you didn't eat matz either. Therefore the Meshech Chochma says, this din, that you're supposed to watch the matz, Shabbat Mitzvah Matzahs. It was only given the Chachil, not by the Yevid, the Ram Shek Beferish, Gomekos of Dosh Menas, Shem HaShemeres. So it's a lechatchila when you're able to fulfill this din, you're supposed to fulfill this din. You're not supposed to hide behind, but it looks like matzah to me, it's okay. So lechatchila is supposed to be fulfill the mitzvah shmura. And you're really supposed to fulfill this din of shmura the entire week, from beginning to the end. But if push comes to shove, and you have only one kezias, and you want to know, should I do the kezias for the first night for the kezias mitzvah, or for the third day chalavot trip to Six Flags? What's the answer? Do it for the Kedais and Matzah. Why? Not because there's an Isser, more of an Isser Chometz in the first night than any other time. Not because the Mitzvah's Matzah requires Shemura, but the Isser Chometz Shemura requires Shemura, and the ramifications and the consequences of eating Chometz to Kabisa Matzah are worse on the first night than the rest of the week. Not because the Isser Chometz is different, but because the eating of Chometz to Kabisa on the first night will be a Pagam, will be a Mavatil, will be a Bittul of the Mitzvah of Tech Matzahs. And therefore, the Rambam states that if you have a choice between the two, opt for the first night. Not because you have the Grashi. The Din of Shmur is not a Din of Lishma. There is no Din of, never heard of Lishma, says the Rambam. And not because the Din of Shmur doesn't apply the whole week, it does apply. My Mishnah is right. But notwithstanding those two statements, push comes to shove, a choice between the two, it's better to get the first Kedais in Shmur, because that way you'll be certain that you're being Yaitse, the Mitzvah. Not because of the Lishma, because that way you'll be certain that it's not Chometz. So he stayed Meshachon. This is sheer genius, this Meshachon. So he took a Mechilta, he quotes Mishnas Yaakov, disagrees with Mishnas Yaakov, and uses his source of disagreement with Mishnas Yaakov to explain this otherwise cryptogram.
This also has a question of the Karen Ora in terms of difference in last week's Buddha and.
Doesn't answer anything.
Maybe that's the first night. Maybe
no.
The reason why.
But the Shemir Mechimutz, why can't I be Shah Mechimutz for the purpose of Lachmi Taida the same way I can do for Matzah? Doesn't address. We can't fall back to the Karen Ora anyway. Okay.
No,
why can't I do that Shemir Mechimotz if I'm watching it for Rikike Nozze? What's wrong with that? So it's still exerts because you still have to fall back in the Kirinair. Okay. So basically, say this whole 45-minute razzle dazzle shtickle Torah from Meshech Chochma with this Rambam was all assuming one fundamental yisoid that yisoid this Rabbi Chochma in the sugya is that there's a major machlokes what Shmur is, a Shmur Lishma or Shmur Mechimotz. And the Rambam Shita is that there's only Shmur Mechimetz, no Shmur Lishma. Bichlal doesn't exist. Never heard of it? Doesn't exist. Could one question that beer in the Rambam? Or could one question the last 45 minutes of Shia? Do we have reason to believe that the Rambam is not as simple as we presented it for the last day and a half? The Rambam's a Shmur Mechimetz person, never heard of Lishma. Now, Binyamin, now's your time. I said before, we need you. Now we need you. You have reason to believe that the Rambam holds what? That there is a din of Lishma and Matzahs. And you know why I believe the Rambam holds that way? Because the Gemara says that Imsach of the Flam Ches, pretty befeirish. The Gemara says Rekik and Nazir are no good because it's not called Lishma. So the Keren Ayri yesterday bent over backwards to tell me, no, well, even though it's not real Lishma, it's exerus the cost of doing it. But when, you know, I could see you still bothered, 24 hours later, you're still bothered with that. In our heart and soul, we believe that the Rambam was a real brisker. The Rambam held there are two dinim of Shmur Matzah. There are two different sugyas in Shas. One is the sugya at the end of the second parak of Pesach that talks about Shas Ksira, Shas Lisha, the water getting on and not getting on it. That's the Shmur Mechimutz. And that's what the Rambam presented that we read yesterday, that Rambam that we read, when the Rambam says in Parak Hei, the Rambam hasn't even introduced the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah yet. The Rambam starts out talking about Shmur Matzah and Parak Hei, Halachas Ches and Tes, which have nothing to do with Matzah. He didn't even tell us Mitzvah to eat Matzah. Kalemi Hizar b'matzah v'shimu l'samim kol tzad chibetz for Farish and Lachetes. But whereas the Meshech Chochma had us believe and the Keren Oira had us believe that that's where the sugya starts and ends according to the Ram, there is no second dimension. The Ram and the Rasha are disagreeing with one another. One could suggest an alternate pshat in the Ramam, that the Ramam holds that there are two alochas in Shmur. There's a din of Shmur mechimutz, that's one sugya. Then there's a din of Shmura in Lachas Matzah. Remember we mentioned yesterday when we started the sugya, we said the Rambam quotes Hilchos Pesach, Hilchos Chametz Matzah. We weren't sure where the Rambam placed the Din of Shmura. So the answer is, where does the Rambam place the Din of Shmura? Both. He quotes it in Perek Hei, and then he repeats it in Perek Vav, in when he quotes the Din of Rekikei Nazir. The Rambam says in a less, Shmurat Mizman Matzah Shemeres the Inyan Matzah Bavad. So the Keren Ayri yesterday said, no, he doesn't really mean, he means Chametz. He doesn't really mean L'Shem Matzah. He means L'Shem Chimutz. Came along Rav Jolti in the Sefer Mishas Yavetz in Ur Chaim, and he says, no, the Rambam meant exactly what he said. The Rambam meant what the Gemara said. Says the Mishas Yavetz, there are two halachas. There's the Din of Shmur Mechimus and the Din of Shmur Lishma. They're both true. If that's the case, says the Mishas Yavetz, how does this impact on the Rambam now by the Lev HaSeder? How do you read this Rambam when the Rambam's talking about a fellow who's eating matzah in the Lev HaSeder, he only got one kezayis? Misha ein l'matzah mishumeres. What does that mean? What do the words mean? Misha ein l'matzah el kazayas matzah mishumeres. So before the Mishas Yavetz came along, we thought matzah she'en mishumeres means there's no shmur mechimutz, because that was the only matzah she'en mishumeres that the Rambam was even geiris. But once the Mishas Yavetz introduces to us the possibility in the Rambam there are two kinds of matzah shmuras, so then what does the Rambam mean when he says Misha ein l'kazayas matzah she'en mishumeres? What does it mean? He only has kazayas of what? He only has one kazayas of what kind of matzah shmura? Which kinds of matzah? Shmura from chimut to shmura lishma. He only has one kezayis of what? Of the lishma matzah. What's the rest of his meal coming from? Here comes a huge chumra. From matzah she'ena shmura. What does she'ena shmura mean? It means it wasn't shmura what? What was it shmura from? Why? How do I know that? Because according to the Rambam, are you allowed to eat matzah she'ena shmura the whole week? No. The only reason why we believe that the Rambam let you b'diavad eat matzah she'en shmura because we couldn't figure out what to do with this Rambam. The Rambam says, go mekol sedasa matzah she'en shmura. So pre-Mishnas Yavetz, we thought there was only one kind of matzah she'en shmura, means not shmura mechimot. And the Rambam is in effect telling you that din of shmura is not ma'akev. That if you're hungry, you can eat non-shmura. But now, according to Mishnas Yavetz, a huge chumrah just emanates. That when the Rambam says Misha ein lo ela matzah shmura, because I should matzah shmura, goma sudasa be matzah shena shmura, matzah shena shmura didn't mean not shmura mechimutz. Not shmura mechimutz is also deep. It's off limits. You can't eat the rice of the rabban. You can't eat that on Pesach, even on 30 chalamot. The matzah shena shmura of halach of perek ches of the Rambam, the very end of the chumash matzah peches lichy gimel, Misha ein lo matzah shmeres ela kezayis. What that means is you only have one kezayis of matzah shmura she mitzvah. So now the Rambam reads like a charm. So when should you plan to eat this kezayis? If you have two choices, either eat it now or eat it later. When should you eat it? Well, figure out when the ikar mitzvah chilas matzah is. In the beginning of the seder, the end of the seder, the Rambam opted for the end for whatever reason. The Rambam felt that was the more important of the kezayisim, the chayas avikayman. And therefore the Rambam says, if you have only one kezayis, so use it at that point. The rest of the meal, eat your non-shmura. Not shmura l'shma. Not shmur mechimutz, you can't eat it. That's straight. That's off limits on Pesach. So basically, haboicha yivcha, you guys choose two radically different shas in the Rambam. You have Meshech Chochma's version of the Rambam. There's only one din of shmur. It's all shmur mechimutz. And the only reason why the Rambam's opting for the shmura, for the mitzvah, is because otherwise you run into a problem. If it's not shmura, then it's chashash chometz. It's chashash chometz, then you're not yet to the mitzvah. According to Rishas Yavetz, the Rambam in Perikhes is not even talking about Nashmur Vachim. He finished that back of Perikhes. He's Perik Vav Zayin Ches talking about the Lel HaSeder. All the matzah on the table is Shmur Mechim, or else it's not Koshel Pesach. I want to know which one should I opt for? So figure out which is the Iker Kedayis. That's the one you should use for the Shmur Mechim and the Shmur. This is big Naftamina's Ladina. According to Shittas Rashi, is there any reason under the sun to insist on eating Shmur the rest of the week, according to Rashi? No. Unless there's only one possibility, according to Rashi, you can make up a story where you have to eat Shmur the whole week. If you really believe in what? If you really, truly believe there's a mitzvah kiyumis the whole week, like the famous Shittas Agra, we mentioned it yesterday, right? If you believe there's mitzvah kiyumis, and you believe that the mitzvah kiyumis is bound by the same halachas that govern the mitzvah chiyuvis, so then you can make up a story that maybe you should be eating kezias, you should be eating shmur matzah the whole week. But that's like a real, real stretch. That's a few stretches stretched together. The pachu into Rashi, there's no reason to eat kezias, to eat shmur after the first kezias. So what we did when we were little boys back in Riverdale, that seemed to be Rashi. All of a sudden, now the world advances. And now we don't want to rely on Rashi anymore. We want to be Rambam people. We're all very, very religious. We follow Shittas Rambam. So the Rambam, as the Maharal Mishnah says, introduces the requirement to eat Shmura the entire week. Right? Well, to what degree does the Rambam say that? So if you go with conventional wisdom, where the Rambam saying you should do it if you can, but if you can't, the guy sits down, there's no Shmura mounts around, so what would we tell him? So we eat non-Shmura. It's a hidah, there's nothing osir about it. According to Rav Jolti's pshat in the Rambam, if you have non-shmura, you can't eat that. That's a bit of shmat b'samatzah. There, I said, there, whatever you think from yesterday's shiur. You're not allowed to eat that. Now, to make matters a little bit more complicated, we're not even sure what shmura means. Remember, we had a machlokes yesterday. Shmura mi mishas ktsira, or the shmura mi mishas lisha. All of the matzahs on the market today are shmura mishas lisha. But only the ones that say on the Mishas Ktsira are Shas Ktsira, and the price reflects that. So, to insist that a person only eats Shmura the entire week, will never, ever, ever touch non-Shmura the rest of the week, that's only true if, number one, we're defining Shmura as Mishas Ktsira, otherwise all matzah on the market today is Mishas Ktsira. So, to insist on never, ever touching non-Shmura matzah the whole week of Pesach, you have to believe in the biggest chumra of what Shmura means, and you have to follow the Shittas Rambam, and you have to follow the Chumadik version of the Rambam, because if you really, really won't touch it, if there's nothing else around. If you just, as a hiddur and something, that can be even the first version of the Rambam. According to the Shittas Rambam, if you really want to follow the Shittas Rambam to the extreme, what if I'm not eating matzah per se? I'm eating what? I'm eating a knedel. Again, some people probably don't know what religion that is. That's for people who not matzah and gebrachot. So many a kinedel made out of matzah meal. Does the matzah meal have to be shmura matzah meal? What would Rashi say about that? Rashi would say, what? Rashi would say, even at the Seder, the guy's eating his kezias and matzah, now he wants to have a kinedel in the soup. Would Rashi have any problems with that? What could possibly be the problems? That's not the kezias. You can't be yotzei with a kinedel. It's a matzah what? What's that quote? Kinedel's matzah mevushelas. The Gemara says in bracht, so can be yotzei matzah mevushelas. So according to Rashi, just make sure you eat one kezias of real matzah of shmur. The rest you can eat non shmur. But according to the Rambam, I want to eat a kinedel on Shvi'i Shel Pesach for lunch in the afternoon. What would the Rambam say? According to the Meshech Chochma, you have to really, really try hard that kinedel is made out of shmur matzah meal, because otherwise, you're not fulfilling the Nishmat of Zematzis. According to Rav Jolti's Pshat, not only do you have to try hard, you can't eat that kinedel. There's no more place you can eat that kinedel, even on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Because that's a bit of the din, the rice of the Rabban Rishmat of Zematzis. So it's because it is Shittas Rambam, now there's a whole market. The whole market is called Shmur Matzah Meal. Back in the 60s and the 70s, Shmur Matzah Meal. Yeah, you're mine, Shmur Matzah Meal. You couldn't get Shmur Matzahs for the sake of Shmur Matzah Meal. Not only is there Shmur Matzah meal out there, Rabbi Yisai, anyone knows, shop before Pesach, what else is there? The Shmur Matzah what? What? They don't Shmur Matzah. They don't Shmur Bisla. No, sorry, I have to disagree with that one. The Shmur Matzah meal, and then the Shmur cake meal. What is Shmur cake meal? Matzah meal ground, a little bit finer. Why? Because when you make knedlich, you have to use a little thicker. When you make cakes and cookies, you have to make a little bit finer. So for those people who want to be cheshish for the Shittas Rambam, and be machmed, shmur means mishas ktsira, and they want to be machmed the whole week, so they don't want to eat their cookies, so they have shmura cake meal as well. It's just matzah meal made a little finer. What else is there? There's not only shmura matzah meal and shmura cake meal, there's even shmura matzah tarfel. Why? Because when you make kugel, you can't make a kugel out of cake meal or matzah meal. You have to make it out of a bigger piece of matzah. Those who want to be chayshu shishir zirambam will only insist on having shmura matzah farfel for the same reason. You can get any one of those above. You get six different choices of which brand you want. Six different prices. If not, shop properly. Okay? This is all, this whole market is only because of the Rambam. So I'll tell you something funny. I want you to figure this one out for me. You should be able to figure it out. What is almost not available in the market? I didn't say totally, almost not available. Many stores are not available, b'chlal, and even those stores who have it, it's very, very small in quantity and very, very expensive. All of those things, the shmura matzah meal, the shmura cake meal, made out of hand matzahs. Almost non-existent. All the regular the companies that sell this kind of stuff, whether it's the, you know, the Glicks, the Hadar, the regular Hamish companies that sell all the Shmura kind of stuff, whether it's the Eretz Yisrael ones, it's all machine matzah. Why is it not hand matzah? How come nobody came with that one yet? It's gotta be hand Shmura. Why is that? Who could figure it out? It's a sociological phenomenon. And I'll give you a hint. It exists on the market. It's very expensive, rightfully so, because hand matzah are much more expensive than machine matzahs. It exists on the market, but I'll give you a hint. It's only about an eighth of the market. Who are the ones who won't touch machine matzahs? The only people in Klai Yisrael that won't touch machine matzahs are the Hasidim. The Hasidim are all the ones who are machbir on what? On gebrachs. So they will not use matzah meal for anything. They're not eating knedlich the whole week. They're not eating cookies made out of matzah. They're not making kugels made out of matzah farfel. So none of them are eating that. So for the Hasidim who are looking for the expensive hand matzah meal, they can't do anything with it, because they can't use it anyway. All the misnagdim who are cheshesh for the Rambam, all the stuff, they're all the people who are eating, they're all eating gebrachts anyway, and they're all eating what? Anyone who's eating gebrachts is eating machine matzahs. Pretty much 99% of the time, those are the same people. The same people who don't care about gebrachts are the ones who are okay with eating machine matzahs. And it's a third of the price. What did I mean by that cryptic statement about one-eighth of the market you will find, and it does exist, in the chassidish stores, you will find hand shmura matzah meal. Very, very, very expensive. The eighth day, because by the Hasidim, many of them will eat gebrachs on the eighth day, but they still want to be cheshesh for the shmura on the eighth day. That chumra didn't go away on the eighth day, so they will buy. So that is the only reason why they sell it. So it's usually in small packages. It's not, you have to know where to look for it, but it is in some of the stores you will find it. But it's, again, it's a very, very small market and a very, very expensive market. So in our house, we don't buy it. We buy the machine, the shmura, whatever it is, but not that old, not the fancy schmancy hand shmura that's already even past our budget. So. And say the other stuff is not past that budget, but at least it's within reason. Okay, Rabbi say anyway. So we didn't finish the sugya by any stretch of imagination. All we did today was understand Shittas Rambam. We learned one Rambam today, but we learned two fundamentally different Yerumim, the Gedalia Chareinim from Mishnah Chokhmah with the Mishnah Yavetz. So what is pshat in this cryptic Rambam in light of what the Shittas Rambam is or is not concerning Shmura? Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, we have to go back to the Sugya Shmura and back see what the other Yeshayim have to say about this. How does some of this play out in other aspects in terms of our Sugya? Again, eventually try to get the whole picture of what Shmura is all about. Anyone wants to, what time is it? Who's Mincha? One down here. 16, that's a very long way. Okay. Anyone wants to share the 10